following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
16. I really have a few verses to share this morning concerning something the Lord spoke to me about not long ago. Luke 3:16. You know, there's something about the 3:16s. I actually have a sermon I've done not long ago. The entire sermon is 3:16s. In fact, I don't understand why this is, because when the original Bible was written, the chapter breakdowns, particularly the verse breakdowns, were not incorporated in the original scriptures, the epistles and gospels. But whoever did ultimately do that centuries ago, there is an amazing phenomena concerning the 3:16s. And you literally can access some significant truth, particularly the New Testament, in the 3:16s. We all know John 3:16, right? Kind of the whole Bible. Did you know 1 Timothy 3:16 is similarly the whole gospel in one verse? And Luke 3:16 is about almost like the verse after John 3:16. Well, okay, you're born again, you need the Lord. Now, what do you do? Luke 3:16 says, John answered and said to those who were questioning him about his, whether he was Messiah, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and what? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. In fact, if I'm understanding that word in Greek for unquenchable is asbestos. Y'all ever heard of asbestos? It's a material that apparently you cannot burn it up. And so there is a unquenchable fire, a consuming fire that God wants to have for us. But the point is, what Jesus is saying is, what John the Baptist is saying, that Jesus came not just to bring salvation, but he also came to bring something called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we are a Spirit-filled church. We have been from the inception, believing in a second experience of God. A lot of people don't understand that. They believe they come to Jesus, they're saved, and that's it. They're going to heaven. But they don't. It's only been really in the last century, since the turn of the 19th century, the 20th century, really, that there's been an understanding coming to the church that there is a subsequent experience to rebirth, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It really was birthed in our whole culture around the year 1902, 1903, with a revival that occurred. Y'all heard of the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, and it spread and it's birthed the Pentecostal movements. And the Pentecost, and now we have 100 years later, massive million-member Pentecostal, like this Church of God in Christ, the Assemblies of God. These are all offsprings of the original move of the Spirit around the turn of the century, which is now we're in the 21st century. That means the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church about 100 years ago. It's interesting that if you look back at the church prior to that, in the 19th century, 18th, 17th, 16th, 15th, all the way back to about the 2nd century, many of the moves of the gifts has really kind of went underground. I believe they were always there. And there were Christian sects and Christian groups, even in Northern Europe, that did indeed were involved. But the mainstream Christianity, this was in the Dark Ages. Only in the last 100 years has the church been blessed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's interesting, there's been a lot of doctrines and beliefs about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know when I first got saved 33 years ago, yesterday, praise God, that there was a great controversy in the church about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and whether you have to speak in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost. Have you ever heard of that controversy? You know, do I have the Holy Ghost if I don't speak in tongues? And I finally heard a preacher years later say, you know, the problem with the whole argument is the premise, do I have to? The question is, do I get to? It's the very notion that I'm questioning whether I want all that God has. My philosophy from the beginning is, hey, if it's from God, give it to me. Amen? I mean, if it's Him, come on. I mean, whatever it is, let's do it. To question it, to demote it, to demean it, to put it to some other time, well, that was for then. You know, my attitude is, hey, if it's in the Word, I've always approached the scripture since I was born again as like a child. Since I was raised Catholic and we didn't have Bibles, we had something called missals. And that wasn't the kind that went up in the air. We had these little Bible reader things, I don't know, and they had scripture in them. But they weren't the Bible. The first Bible I ever owned was the night I was born again at a Baptist revival. A guy gave me a Bible. It was called, it was real popular back then, the Jesus Movement. It had pictures in it. It was in today's English. Good News for Modern, huh? Good News for Modern Man. That's what it was. That was my first Bible. And I remember, you know, I just devoured that thing up. And then I discovered, of course, I ultimately discovered the original King James. Praise God. And I love the King James and have read it ever since. But the bottom line I want to say is there has been a teaching all the time I've been a Christian that people talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have with Spirit-filled churches. You know what they seem to leave out is the next three words in Luke 3:16. It says baptism of the Holy Ghost and what? Fire. You never hear say, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost in fire? Have you received, do you speak in tongues since you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire? Why does the people leave the word fire out? Because look, well, you know why they leave the word fire out? Look at the next verse. This is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor. You know, he's using, he's drawing a picture from an agrarian society. What you do, we basically, you have to separate the chaff from the wheat. And apparently what they would do is they would throw it up and the heavier wheat would fall and the chaff would blow to the side and they would fan it so the chaff and the wheat would separate. And then they would burn, they would take the chaff from the wheat, the shell, and they would burn it and eliminate it so that only the real thing fell to the ground. Do you know that's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's to separate us from the chaff of our life. It's to separate us from all the stuff that's basically covering up who we really are, who we really could be. And Jesus' job, he has a fan. It's almost like he's fanning the flame. Have you ever done that with your barbecue pit? The fire's low and you kind of blow out of you fan it to do what? What are you trying to do to the fire? What are you trying to make the fire do? To grow, to get hotter. Do you believe that Jesus wants the fire hotter in your life? How many of y'all pray that prayer? Lord, make the fire hotter. It's not hot enough, Lord. The chaff is so connected to me. I'm so connected to the chaff. I need the fire to separate. Isn't that a good prayer? How many of y'all willing to claim and name that promise? Huh? Y'all asleep out there? Look, people are listening to the CD. And they're wondering, boy, that's a real discipled crowd Chris is preaching to. So everybody say yes real loud. Yeah. See, they're really with me today. They really want the fire and the chaff. Want to burn up the chaff. You know what? There's a lot of gold. How many of y'all seen gold ore? You know, gold in its natural state. You know, it's like the core is pure, but often the way they don't find gold in mines and ingots, okay? They don't find them in blocks. How do they find gold? It's mixed. It's kind of, in fact, some of the way they mine gold now is they take tons and tons and tons of mud and dirt and they crush it and run it through refiners to get just a little specks of gold. But gold often comes in an impure mixed state, and so it is with us. Wheat comes with a shell, chaff that has to be separated. Did you know that's the way it is with us? We come to the Lord, we're born again, we love Jesus, but there's a lot in us that needs to be dealt with. And that's why it isn't just to be saved, it's to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Because I know you need fire, the Lord says, to separate this stuff out of your life. Because if you try to walk with me and be using me in the kingdom of God with all that junk, you're just going to be so self-focused. Look at Malachi 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Real easy to find. You know what the teaching is today? Listen, purified by fire to be empowered with fire. I believe the Lord wants to empower us with fire. I believe he wants to move in fire among us. But you know, in order for the fire to move through us in signs and wonders, he has to use the fire and burn it to us to set us free. You have to be, if you want to say, Lord, I want my life to be filled with fire. Well, to be filled with fire, you got to accept the fire. Amen? And what does the fire come for first? It's separate. Malachi 3:2, chapter 3, verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? Talk about the Messiah. And who will stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. King James reads, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Now, I love this verse because it says he will sit. It's a picture of a goldsmith sitting before apparently a molten pot of gold ore, heats it up to the point, begins to melt the elements, and what happens apparently is the impurities begin to rise to the top. And what they will do, this is kind of the ancient way to do it, although I think it's still done this way, as the impurities are scooped off the top, and the hotter the fire, the more impurities, the more the impurities are scooped off the top. Did you know what often the goldsmith will do? As he turns up the fire and he works it, and the impurity, he's trying to get a purer and purer and purer strain of pure gold. And it's said that he knows he has it when he can look into the molten gold and see the pure reflection of his face. When the goldsmith looks into the gold and there's no more impurities to hinder it, just pure gold and the pure reflection, he knows, okay, it's time to turn the fire back down. We're achieving 100%. Are we understanding any kind of allegory here? You know, often there's so many things in us, stubborn, willful, rebellious, prideful, selfish, whatever ways in us that God say, look, I love you. Now, aren't you glad it says he sits as a refiner? Is that how your versions read? Does it say that? Aren't you glad it didn't say he's standing over it, kind of mad? No, he sits. He's patient. How many know the Lord's patient? Has the Lord been patient with you? Your stubbornness, your willfulness, your rebellion, your hard-heartedness. You know, all he's doing, he loves us. And he's determined to set us free in spite of us. He really is. He's going to set, if you name the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost is on your tail. Now you can say, well, I'm not really willing to give it all up, or I am, and you know, yeah, but in your heart you're not. And he knows your heart. You know, the Holy Ghost is on your tail. He's going to, and what he does in his wonderful way is he slowly ticks that fire up. Just turns that burner. You know, we got a gas burner at home. And sometimes you just gotta, you know, you gotta look down and just turn that fire up a little bit, because he knows at some point you're gonna get just hot enough. Something you're going, wow, okay, Lord, I'll let that one go. I'm sure it was nice. I sure enjoyed it, but it ain't worth the fire. But then we think, oh man, I've achieved righteousness. I'm gold through and through. And the Lord says, no, you're clueless. He says, but you believe that for a while and enjoy yourself. And at some point, he just turns the fire up a little bit. Now, what is the fire? You know what the fire is often in our life? God is sovereign. In all the ways, acknowledge him. He controls every molecule, every atom in the universe. God can order your steps. Can you know what I mean? He can order your circumstances. He can order your ways. He don't want to do it. I think if God had his druthers, he would just love to dump goodies on us. He really would. I think just like a daddy. You know, you fathers, you would love nothing more than to just bless your kid with good stuff and never have to ever correct them once. Am I right? That's your heart. You know, we don't want to correct our children. Amen? We don't like it, but we know they need it. And they need it when there's something coming up. You know, we got to deal with that, because that's an imperfection in your character. If we don't deal with it, you're going to grow up with that, and that's going to be a major hindrance for the rest of your life. And I'm not going to do that to you, because I love you too much to let you go on in that strain. So believe it or not, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Am I? Can I? Amen. And God's the same way. We're creating his image. That's exactly, God wants us to love one another. As many as I love, the Lord says, Revelation 3:20, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You know, if you really love somebody, you're willing to speak the truth to them. If you really love somebody, you're willing to say what's right, even if they get mad at you. That's real love. It says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's what the proverb says. But he says, faithful the wounds of a friend. If you really love somebody, you're going to be willing to stand up for what's right. How many of y'all had parents that really loved you? Did they ever get on you about stuff? They were willing to be not nice at times? I'm glad my dad was that way. I'm so glad. But, you know, I realize now, because he had something inside of him that knew, I've got to correct these measures. I've got to deal with these things in Chris. One of the worst weapons I got was a smoking gun. Y'all heard this story. I have this scene. I'm about 10 years old. And the scene is my older brother is standing there in the hallway, and his glasses, he was the only one, were broken. Okay? And there was glass in his eye, and he's screaming. Now, see if you can see the scene. 3 feet away, I'm holding a pop, one of these pop cork guns in my hand. My dad runs up. What happened? I said, I didn't do it. And I'm holding the gun. This is true. And my dad looks. And the next scene in my memory is dad beating the living out of me. And you know what I remember him saying to me? I remember it to this day. He said, son, I'm not doing this for what you did. I'm doing it because you lied. He said, you lied to me. I mean, it was a stupid lie. Smoking gun. But you know what? I'm grateful for that whooping. Because, you know, there's a fear of the Lord got in me early on about lying. Friday night, I taught about stealing. Some of y'all should have been there. It was I taught a sermon Friday night on the consequences, the lifelong consequences of stealing. Boy, it was a quiet group here Friday night. We talked about honesty, extravagant honesty, and putting the fear of the Lord in you concerning stealing. You can be cursed if you steal because it's the eighth commandment. And thou shalt not bear false witness. The lying is the ninth commandment. So anyway, you know, God loves us, and God will allow. He turns the heat up, and that may be what's going on in your life right now. And we're so often so blind and short-sighted, we get bitter. Why? I thought you loved me. Why don't you do? And God says, I do love you. I'm just trying to break some of this hardened stubbornness, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, the good news is, you know what the good news? He is so merciful that there is a story in the Bible of when he really had to turn the fire on. There's these three guys in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they got thrown in the fiery furnace. Remember the story? And they're burning up in the fire, and all of a sudden the king looked down and he saw there was a fourth guy down in there. And he said, who was this guy down in there with those Hebrew children? And they said, it seems, King James reads, it's a form of the Son of God. Now I believe it was a Christophany, which is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. You can read this in your Bibles. So I believe down in the fire, what they actually got, what they maybe so feared was a fire, they actually had an intimacy with Jesus. They saw the Lord in the fire. And what's amazing is when the king got them out of the fire, they came out of the fire, and it said there was no smell of smoke on them, and the only thing burned was their bonds. The bonds they'd been thrown in were all burned away. Isn't that a cool picture of the fire? You know, the Lord's heart is, he doesn't want us even to smell like the smoke of what we just went through. All he wants to do is liberate us from the bondages and the demons and the deception. That's all he wants to do. And do you know, in the fire, often that's when you experience Jesus. So it should never be anything we're afraid of. In fact, I believe our attitude needs to be, Lord, I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I ask you to take that fan in your hand and, Lord, blow the coals. And separate the chaff from me. That's a good prayer to pray. Are you with me this morning? Last place, Leviticus 9:21. Leviticus. Y'all know what that is? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Last place, 9:21. There's good stuff in Leviticus. This is talking about the fire of the Lord. Leviticus 9:21, and the breasts and the right shoulder Aaron weighed before a wave offering before the Lord, talking about the sacrificial rites in the tabernacle. Verse 22, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering. This is the high priest coming down, blessing the multitude. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. Which when the people saw the fire, they shouted and fell on their faces. You know, I wrote here in my notes, God wants to empower acceptable sacrifices. You can follow this through. The times fire came down from heaven or came out of the Ark of the Covenant when there was an acceptable sacrifice. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? Who is God? And they built an altar. They kept calling fire down from Baal. And they didn't get nothing. He started mocking them. Where's your God? Maybe he's using the bathroom. Remember that? And then he went over there. He built his altar. And he poured water on it 4 times. And it said the fire came down. And the fire was so hot, it even burnt up all the rocks. And it said all the people fell on their face and said, "The Lord, He is God. He is God." God comes with acceptable offer. He sends fire. Remember Cain and Abel? Whose offering was acceptable to God? Abel's offering, which involved the shedding of blood. Cain brought the works of his hands. And the Bible says God accepted his offering. Most Bible scholars believe it means fire came down. And you see that type, even David, fire came down. God will send the fire to acceptable offering. Now, I know how, I don't know about you, but I would like to see the fire of the Lord in my Christian life. You know what I mean? Would you like fire to move in this place? Holy Ghost fire? Okay, now, I'm not talking about correction. I'm talking about signs and wonder fire. Come on. See, there's 2 kinds of fire. But I was thinking you only get one if you ask for the other. We want the fire of the Lord. We want the passion of the Lord. We want the anointing of the Lord. We want to see God revival and people get saved. You know what? I only believe the fire of God that consumes acceptance only happens when we let the fire of the Lord come into our life and separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, the Bible says His angels, in Psalm 102 says this, Hebrews 1, His angels are flames of fire. When the angels of the Lord come, they bring fire. Remember Isaiah 6? It says the angel came down from the altar of the Lord. He brought a hot coal, what? A fire. God wants to send fire in our lives. How many of y'all could use some fire in your life? Come on. You feel like a smoking flax. Little embers. You know, I believe that's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is about. Did you know when there's fire in your life, it terrifies demons? When there's fire in your life, it terrifies demons inside other people. Not just in you. When there's fire in your life, this Bible says our God is a consuming fire. I forget one of the great preachers of yesteryear, whether it was Smith Wigglesworth or somebody, Martin Luther, I forget. I think it was the founder, William Booth, I believe it was him, said, you know, you don't have to do anything for revival. Just stand there and burn. People come see a fire. John Wesley, you ever noticed that when there's a fire in town, everybody just goes to see the fire? Mommy, can we go see the fire? You know, the fire engine rushes by, and I got to admit, there's been times here in Pasadena, you'll see the smoke. And you know, you want to drive your car over there, because there's something about a fire we want to see. That's what evangelism is. We are a fire. When we are a fire, people want to see what's going on. That's what the evangelism in Pensacola was, that great revival. It was a fire into the heavens. People from all over the world came to stand there and warm themselves and gaze at the fire of God. Fire releases anointing. Fire results in dramatic signs and wonders. I have a desire to see dramatic signs and wonders. I like seeing dramatic signs and wonders. We see signs and wonders all the time around here. They tend to be mostly less than dramatic, but they're signs and wonders, supernatural phenomena. I'd love to see dramatic signs and wonders. Amen? Deaf people come in here. Blind people see. Crippled people walk. Limbs extended. AIDS patients delivered and healed. And not just having to claim their healing. Healed. I'd like to see that. And I believe God wants to send the fire. I believe He will send the fire. I believe one of the reasons He probably hasn't sent the fire quite like He could is because maybe some of us are reticent to have all of the fire. All that the fire means. Not just the fire for evangelism, the fire for the works of the Lord, but the fire for separating the chaff from the wheat. The fire to burn down and burn out the impurities, the things in us that keep Jesus from looking into our soul and in our spirit and seeing his reflection. Because, you know, there's only one thing the Father is pleased with. You know the only thing the Father is pleased with? When Jesus came up out of the water, God said, "This is my beloved Son." Why? You know what God is still? That's the only thing. When God looks into the waters of your soul, when he sees Jesus, he is pleased. He wants to see Jesus manifest. When he sees Jesus in our church, I believe God looks down at our little fellowship. And he's pleased. He doesn't care about numbers. We could have 30,000 or 30. God doesn't care. He just wants to see Jesus. And when he sees his Son, he sends what? The dove of the Holy Ghost. The anointing always comes where he sees his Son. And he's well pleased. And that's when the anointing came. And the numbers mean nothing. The truth is, the more numbers, the less likely he's going to see his Son. That's why I said where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. But there is a catalyst number of God. And I believe that the only thing that's important is that Jesus be manifest in this place. I said the only thing that's important, Jesus be manifest in this place. You know, we've been struggling financially of late. Pretty seriously, in ways we haven't in many years. You may hear more about that if things don't turn. But you know what I told the Lord about it? I was out of town for a few days, and it was really on my heart, grieving me. I'm the one that bears the burden of that. Well, my wife, too. She hears about it. She's gracious. But, I mean, I'm just, you know, grieving about, praying about it, trusting the Lord. But you know what I told the Lord in spite of it? I said, "Lord, I don't care what you got to do. I'm going to keep preaching the word the same way. And if people get up and leave, then let them go. And if we have to tighten the belt, let us tighten the belt. Because I want the pure anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. And I'm not interested in adding numbers and filling seats and just so we can have more. Oh, no, forget it. Because I don't care. All I care is about Jesus manifesting in this place. And I love the Lord and I love you enough. And I want to stand before him and be a faithful steward one day and say, Lord, I did what was right by you. I preached Jesus, I rebuked the saints so they'd walk with Jesus, I called them to a higher calling, and I trusted Jesus was manifest in our midst. And Father, you sent the dove of the Holy Ghost among us, and that's all that matters. Can you hear me, man? The rest, whatever. We can tie it about, we can do whatever, I'm not worried about that. I just want to be pleasing to the Father. Do you? Are you with me on this? Man, that was a weak yes. Are you with me on this? Look, I need your support. We have been under a terrific attack for many months by Antichrist spirits. This church has been just, ever since we changed everything in the first of the year, it's just like waves of demonic attack against this work. And it's been Antichrist spirits. They come in through a myriad of ways, and we open the door. Each one of us is responsible. Every one of us, myself included. We're all responsible for our consecrated walk with Jesus and our diligence to stay separated from the things of the world. But the world has a way, like a snake getting in and, you know, and diluting your power and your passion. And he does it to me. And, you know, we've got to be, Jesus said, you have to be alert and watch and pray and intercede and be disciplined and you walk so we can make it through the forest, the jungle of the wicked times that are coming on the earth. The culture has just gone bananas. I'm just so grieved by the viciousness and the wickedness that's been, and perversion that's so prevalent in the culture. But you know what the truth is? You know what the real truth is? Amen. I appreciate that. That seemed timely. That was the Lord saying, I feel the same way. That's cool when that happens. You know what I think the real issue is? Listen carefully. The real issue is when it gets really, really dark, it really should be easier. It really should be easier. When it gets really bad out there, it ought to be easier because it's easier to separate from it. I mean, it's, you know, black and white here. It's the gray is fast leaving our culture. Amen? So we either max into for Jesus or we're caught up with the Antichrist spirit that's coming on the world. Let's all stand. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That was cool. You know, Samuel was preaching once. Samuel was preaching in the Bible, and he said, I want to show you that what I said was the Lord. This isn't Samuel. He says, it is harvest time. It's not the time of thunder and rain. I'm going to call thunder. He said, thunder. All of a sudden, the sky broke loose with thunder and lightning. Everybody said, we hear you, Samuel. That's biblical. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we bless you this morning. I want to challenge you, saints, to pray a prayer with me tonight. Today. I want to challenge you to pray a prayer for the fire. However God wants to send the fire. You may say, Lord, I want fire in my life to do all this stuff and to be all... But he's saying, I want to send fire because I want to turn the heat up. I want some of that purity to come up because I want to see myself in you, and I'm grieved by the backslidden of your heart. I'm grieved by the worldliness and the compromise. I love you. And I want you to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. Pray this after me. Jesus, I pray you'd send the fire however you would be pleased to send it to whatever area of my life for however long and through whom you want to send it. Do it, Lord. Separate the chaff from the wheat. Purge the floor with fire unquenchable. And I might walk in holiness and righteousness and purity before you, that Jesus would be manifest in my family, my children, my life, and my church. And in your mercy, Jesus, as you see my heart for fire, please send fire into this congregation. When we pray for the sick, when we lay hands on the sick, they'll be healed. When we cast out demons, they'll leave. And you'll protect our little ones, Jesus. Come with a ring of fire about our church today. Let fire reach into the heavens. Soar into the heavens. And the principality over this city will see the fire of Jesus in this place. Amen.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.